Let's turn in our Bibles, if you would, this evening to Matthew chapter 6. And I'd like to talk a little bit tonight about family, and particularly about family priorities. I feel like there is a reverberation while I'm talking here in the pulpit, so maybe we can dial it back a little bit, if for nobody else, then for me. Matthew chapter 6, and we're glad that you're here tonight. I hope you've been enjoying this study on the family, that it's been a help to you. I have a few more messages that I'd like to share with you in this series before we switch gears, but tonight we want to find ourselves in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, which does not particularly deal with the family, but it is a broad principle of the Christian life. And we're going to do our best tonight to make application of this verse to this thought about setting family priorities. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the scripture says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Whether we know it or not, whether we think about it or not, we are setting priorities in our families every single day. The choices that we make about how we spend our time, activities that we involve ourselves with, decisions that we make in regards to the pursuits that our children will have, all of these things are, sometimes without us even realizing it, establishing priorities in our home. There are times that we're not very thoughtful about these priorities, but it's happening nonetheless. In fact, a lot of times we find that priorities are being set without us giving much planning or effort to structuring our life or thinking about where exactly we're going. And maybe some of you have even experienced where you signed up for something and it wasn't what you signed up for. You got a couple months into a commitment and said, "Wait a second, I didn't know that it involved this and this and this and this," and you're reevaluating some of your commitments. Has that ever happened to any of you? All right, I'll take that as a yes. Tonight, I want to challenge us to be more purposeful about prioritizing the right things and pursuing after those things in our families. Because I want you to consider this question. What if what you are prioritizing right now in your family, and some of you have young children, some of you don't have children yet, some of you say, "My children are grown and gone." But what if what you are prioritizing in your life right now and in your family yields a result in 15 to 20 years that you're not happy with? That isn't what you're looking for. So that's what I'm asking you to look down the road and ask yourself, the priorities of our family right now, where are they taking us? What is the trajectory that we are on in regards to these priorities? Now look at our text real quickly, Matthew 6, 33. We're going to take it apart a little bit. He says there, "Seek ye first." The word "seek" means to pursue after. It means to have intention. It has the idea of some level of intensity. It's the idea of looking for something. I propose to you that tonight, in regards to our families, we are all looking for something. There's a reason that you got married. There's a reason that you have children. And as you're raising your children and you're making decisions in regards to what they're involved in and the things that your family will be involved in, you're making decisions and you are seeking after something. Now, again, we don't always think about what we're seeking after. We're not always cognizant of the goal that we have, but you do have some goals. And it's good to identify those. He goes on, he says, "Seek ye first." First. Primary. The Greek word that is translated first here is the word proton. It's that ascendant element. It's the idea of the very first thing. So before anything else, seek ye first. And what does he tell us to seek first? The kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God pertains to the rule and reign of Jesus. It speaks about sovereignty. It speaks about who's in charge, who's the king. In other words, let me put it this way. When we talk about our families, the very first question we need to ask is, what does God think about it? Where does God fit in this? And we'll get to that in just a moment. But we are to be seeking first the kingdom of God. We are to be putting ourselves in submission in his kingdom, to his rulership, expecting that he has a purpose and he has a plan. As we looked at a number of weeks ago, we talked about the purpose that God has for family. God is seeking a godly seed. And so he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're looking to build righteousness, not only in our own lives, but also in the lives of our children, teaching them what it means to pursue after God, to put God first in their life, to live for God. And so we ought to be seeking first. And then he goes on, he says, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are these things? Well, in the context, the verses just before this, he's talking about the things that God knows that we need, like things to eat and things to drink and things to be clothed with, the necessities of life. And many times in our families, we get so concerned with the necessities of life, the things we have to do, that we lose sight of what are God's priorities and where does God want us to be plugged in? What is God doing in our family? So he says here that we should be seeking first the kingdom of God, and then we should be leaving these things in the hands of the Lord. This doesn't mean that, men, you should quit your jobs and say, well, if God wants to provide for me, he can. There are scriptural principles which dictate some of these things, but it is to say that our first consideration should be the kingdom of God. I want to give you some thoughts about priorities tonight. First of all, I want to talk to you about the need for priorities. Second of all, I want to talk to you about the order of priorities. And third of all, I want to talk to you a little bit about the refinement of priorities. And a lot of what we're going to talk about tonight is very practical in nature, and I hope will be challenging and thought-provoking to those of you who are in attendance and those who may be watching online. First of all, let's think about the need for priorities. Again, we're not always aware of this, but something will always take first place. Whether we realize it or not, something or someone is going to be in first place, is going to have the first consideration when we're making a decision, when we're planning our day, our week, our month, our year. There's going to be something that is going to rise to the top as the very first, most important consideration that we have. And whatever that thing is the first priority in our lives. Now, the need for priorities is this, that without being purposeful, lesser things will usually take a place that they should not have. If we're not careful, lesser things will slip into the higher place. And then what happens is we have calamity in our life because the priorities are not fitting. So let me just explain it this way. When you have your priorities the right way, there won't be calamity because God is never going to put more on you than what he will give you the strength to handle. But it is possible for us to get our priorities mixed up, to put things in the place where they don't belong, and thus to create calamity for ourselves. And then we're stressed out. I don't know. I can't get to everything. I can't figure it all out. So without being purposeful, lesser things take a place that they should not have. Did you ever notice when you were a kid, some of you are kids, that if your parents gave you chores and you didn't put them in first priority, in other words, get to them right away, you could fritter away the entire day and get none of your chores done. Get to the end of the day and your parents would say, "Did you do?" And you go, "Oh, I totally forgot about it." I know that's never happened to any of the children in this church. And parents, we won't allow you to input there. But that's because, and it doesn't just happen to kids, that's because when we're not purposeful, lesser things end up getting into a higher place. And when the lesser things get in where they don't belong, there's no longer room for the things that are most important. Many of us do not see our decisions as being about priorities because we're living in a way that is reactionary. There's pressures that are coming in our life. We're living in the moment. We're living by our feelings. We have this happen, that happened, the other thing happened. We're reacting. And just like that, the things that we know should be most important, we no longer have time for them because I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to take care of this. And what I'm saying to you tonight is that we need to learn to not be reactionary in our living, but to be very purposeful. In fact, I'm convinced that many people live from one crisis to another. And the crises that they live from one to another are almost always the crises of their own making. And if we would stop being reactionary, it could put away a lot of those crises, allow life to calm down a little bit so that we can be purposeful and then get back to living according to the right priorities. Something that I've noticed about priorities is that small decisions about priorities now will yield big results later. So you make small decisions right now. And I'm particularly thinking about the decisions that we make about our day-to-day process. The things that we do on a day-to-day basis are going to have a big impact down the road. 15, 20 years from now, the little things that you do are going to yield big results. Actually, even sociologists and people who study in the behavioral sciences would tell us, people who don't even know God would tell us that it's small incremental changes that you make right now for positive or negative that are going to have the greatest impact in a few years from now. A lot of times we're looking for, and this goes both ways, we're looking for big things that we can do right now to have an effect tomorrow. But most of the time, change takes place very slowly and incrementally through small decisions that add up to a big thing down the road. All right, so small decisions. What I'm saying to you is don't minimize the small decisions that you make. Those small decisions, those things that you decide about priorities right now, and we'll get into some practical things here about priorities, and they feel like they're just small decisions, but they are adding up, and they are beginning to accumulate, and they're going to have an impact down the road. Are you all still with me? Okay. As we're thinking about the need for priorities, I want you also to consider that priority setting is a faith decision. I need to have my faith in God. Doesn't our text say that God will provide for all these things? If I seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things will be added unto me. So if I put God first, I can have confidence that God is going to keep his promise. That means that there's a faith decision, or really a lot of faith decisions. In fact, this is why the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 14 that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We need to be making decisions according to faith, according to the belief, this is God's will. This is what God wants us to do. This is the right thing right now. Those decisions. All right, so there's a need for priorities. Too many of us live our lives from moment to moment. We give very little thought to the big picture, where we're going to be in a few years. Listen, Our oldest, I think you know, Margaret, graduated from high school this year. And some of you are farther down this road than I am. And you said, when I said, that went way too fast, you said, oh, just wait. It gets faster. And some of you are raising younger children, and it feels like it's going to be a really long time till your 3, 4, 5-year-old is graduating from high school, starting to make decisions about college, looking at a career. But I'm telling you, it passes just like that. And if you're not careful, you'll make provisions and you'll make excuses back here in these younger years because of this or that or the other thing. And before you know it, the time for impacting is gone. And so you've got to be very purposeful about setting priorities because time goes quickly. All right? There's a need for priorities. Now let's talk about the order for priorities. And I have several thoughts that I want to share with you. And then the last thing that we want to talk about is not going to take us that long. The order for priorities. So I think we see in the scriptures, not only here in Matthew 6:33, but in many other verses, for instance, Colossians chapter 3 tells us, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So he says, be careful that you're putting your affection on eternal things, on spiritual things. This verse says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We're told by Jesus that we ought to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. We could look at many other verses that talk about the importance of putting God first. But when we talk about the order of priorities, the very first or the top priority always has to be relationship with God. The relationship with God is most important. And this would be the relationship with God of the parents, the relationship with God of the children. If you're here and you're not married, your relationship with God is first priority. If you've already raised your children and you're in your retirement years, relationship with God is the first priority for every single one of us. Relationship with God always must be first. If we get this out of order, if we put our relationship with God somewhere farther down in the list, we're going to find that it never quite fits in. There never is quite going to be time for it. There never is a really going to, it's not going to satisfy us like we know that it ought to. Why? Because we haven't put God first. We haven't put Him in His rightful place. And by the way, when we are not putting God in His right place, there's then going to be the result that there's going to be many confusing things in our life. Because now we're going to be having this battle of priorities all the time. You say, why is there always this battle, this struggle of priorities? Because God isn't first. If you don't have God first, nothing else is going to line up. Parents should model this by having a personal walk with God. And it's appropriate to talk with your children about your walk with God, to share with them about answered prayer, about what God has shown you and what God is doing in your life. Parents should be modeling this. Your children should know that you have a real relationship with God. Parents also should help their children establish a personal Bible reading time. And a lot of parents say, but my kids aren't saved yet. Well, that doesn't matter. I mean, you want them to get saved, right? And you know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So one of the best things that you can do is help your children learn to have a personal Bible reading time. Help them. It's not going to come naturally or easy to them. You're going to have to encourage them. You're going to have to check up on them. You're going to have to show them how that is to be done. This is part of putting relationship with God first. I think family devotions can also be helpful in prioritizing relationship with God. As a family, sitting down and talking about what the Scriptures say. And of course, we know that we should be talking about the Lord in the everyday moments. And talking about the Lord in the everyday moments is a powerful thing in your children's lives. When we see an illustration or something right in front of our eyes and we can talk about who the Lord is and what God has done and how good He is, or maybe a foolish decision, and we see someone make a foolish decision and we say, you know, look at that. The Bible talks about this very thing, and this isn't the way that we should act because there's going to be consequences. These are powerful teaching moments, and if our relationship with the Lord is at the top priority, we'll take advantage of those things. I think after relationship with God, then we need to have time to build strong family relationships. And what I've observed is that spending quantity time together yields quality conversations. And it'd be nice if you could schedule from 5:30 to 6:30 every evening to be just quality conversation, get right to the heart of the matter. Let's go, it's 5:30, get it out. Okay, 6:30, done, let's move on. But it doesn't happen that way. We spend time together, and a lot of times that time that we spend together is going to be somewhat mundane. We're going to go to the store together. We're going to be at the park together. We're going to ride to church together in the car. At least you are. We walk. We're going to, you fill in the blank. How do we spend time together? We're going to sit around the dinner table together. We're going to make time to spend together. So when you make time, that has the potential to yield quality moments. And in that time that we're building strong family relationships, we're going to need to prioritize our attention. And so we need to be careful about how distractions can come in and can pull us away and can keep us from focusing on what we should be dealing with. Now, I do want to say this about spending family time together. Don't default to the easy things. And what I mean by that is things like watching a movie together. And if that's the only thing that you ever do as a family, you're not going to have a strong family bond. There's got to be more than just seeking entertainment together. And I'll comment on that more in a little bit. So make time for communication. Make time to talk with your children, to hear from them. Make time to communicate as husband and wife and to talk about the things that are going on, that are on your heart. It can be difficult to clear that time, to find that time. I do realize that. We have young children. It can be very challenging at times to find that time for communication, to be able to speak together. But as a family, we need to be prioritizing strong family relationships. One of the things that concerns me about our culture is that most families in the United States of America are so busy with activities that everybody in the family is going all different directions and they hardly ever see each other. And then we wonder, why are families not as strong as they ought to be? This is a big contributing factor. And so we've got to make time to spend time together as a family. I think along with this, occasions for instruction and training must be planned. We must be thinking about, okay, if I'm going to teach my children, how is that going to happen? Well, instruction and training doesn't happen accidentally. Although there are times that it will seem like it was on accident, because you'll just be in a situation and there's a lesson and let's talk about it, but you have to be prepared to be watching for those things. You have to be engaged enough to recognize, hey, this is a great life lesson. But I think there also needs to be some formal instruction. The Bible talks about how we need to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. This means that there is some instruction. There is some talking about the things of the Lord. And we need to make sure that we have time for this kind of instruction and training. This is not just about spiritual things, but also just about practical things of life. You've got to talk to your children about things that are important. For instance, we've always tried to teach our children as they were growing up, what is Papa's cell phone number? If you ever get separated from the family, what is his name? And it's really cute when they're 3, 4, 5. What is Papa's name? Papa. And what's his other name? Hammett. And so then what is the other name that some people call him by? And they go like, I think he, Roland, is that it? And so we try to teach them just practical things. What would happen if you got separated? Who would you talk to? Those kind of practical life lessons. How do you ride a bike? What do you do to be polite to other people? These are lessons that have to be taught. They're not things that are just learned naturally or are picked up on, but there are things that need to be taught. As parents, we're responsible for this kind of instruction. And if we're not careful, we'll miss the season for that instruction. Now, I want to say this about our priorities. Activities and entertainment can be useful as tools, but we need to be very careful that they do not reach the level of high priorities. And here's something that I've observed. You take it for what it's worth, but I find that many parents are using fun activities, trips, and expensive toys to fill a void that could only be filled by them being present regularly. Now listen, if you can afford to do lots of fun things and that's part of your budget and it doesn't crimp your style, hey, that's great. And your kids will love it. There's nothing wrong with that. But be careful that those fun activities don't become the end-all, be-all of life. Your kids aren't going to die if they don't go to an amusement park before they're 13. Which, by the way, going to an amusement park, have you looked at the prices recently? That's out of my budget. Besides, I get sick on roller coasters now. I used to enjoy them. Now I get sick just looking at them. Your kids may feel like they're deprived of something if they haven't been to the favorite destination that everybody else has. But I'm telling you that a lot of people who take their kids to those destinations are taking them there because they're guilty about not spending time with them. That's not always the case. But be careful that you don't put those things to a high priority. Because, let's face it, there's so much fun and entertainment, you could be going nonstop doing fun, entertaining, exciting things all the time and never have time for the most important things. And so we've got to be careful. These kinds of activities and entertainment are not the most important thing. You need to ask yourself this question. Why do we participate in these activities? Why do we partake of this entertainment? What is our purpose? What is our goal? How does this activity or this entertainment fit into what we are hoping to produce in the lives of our children? Does it contribute or does it detract? These are good, hard questions to ask. Along with these activities and entertainment, I want to talk for a minute about sports. Because if you put sports at a very high priority in your child's life, you could be putting them into spiritual danger. Now, I realize that your child is probably so talented that they're going to the Olympics or the major leagues. And so you want to give them every opportunity to develop their skills. But honestly, we all realize that that is a very slim chance. And then if you, as a mature adult, can look at the atmosphere of the major leagues or the life of a professional athlete, and then ask yourself, is that really the life that I want for my child? Is that where I want them to be pouring their energies into? I think if you're honest, you'd have to say, you know what, that's a really hard life. That seems like it would be difficult, a difficult environment to serve the Lord. I know there's Christians in that environment. I realize that. Please don't come and tell me, I know about this athlete. I realize it. I'm just asking you to ask yourself the hard question, is it reasonable to expect that you're going to get some kind of a big result from this? And the reason I'm saying this is because sports are one of those things in our culture that are almost never ending. If your kid develops a thirst for sports, they could be busy year-round in multiple sports and never have any time off. And then what is that going to do to you as a parent? Well, you're going to be running to this game and that practice and this park and this other thing. And you say, that's important. I want to be there for my kids. I get it. I understand it. The question I have is, should sports be that important? Should it be the highest priority? What we find is that sports is, this is what Brother Coomer would say, sports is a heart stealer. It often steals the heart of children away from their pursuit after the Lord and away from their parents, and creates a conflict of interest that can become very difficult. You'd be better off taking your kid out of every sport and playing baseball with them in the backyard, to be honest with you, because you'll get a lot more bang for your buck out of that. Think about those sports and ask yourself, how does this fit into the goals that you have for your family. Now again, please don't interpret this to mean that I'm upset with you if your children are playing sports. That's your prerogative as a parent to decide how does this fit into our family goals. And sometimes it may fit in. You may say, hey, there's good self-discipline, there's coordination, there's exercise, there's some benefits that come from being involved in those sports. Just keep it in perspective, okay? Because you have to prioritize it or else it'll take control of your life. Okay, we still friends? Because I'm getting ready to meddle some more. Okay. Education. Education is very important. Mr. Anger is not in here, so he would want me to say education is very important. Getting your homework done is very important. Doing your classes and disciplining yourself to finish your work. But many parents are determined that their kids are going to be smart and successful no matter what. And they put a heavy emphasis on education. They want their kids to excel. Again, there's nothing wrong with wanting your child to excel, but you have to ask yourself some questions. What is my motivation? What am I after? What is the goal? What is the end goal? And sometimes as parents, you know, I want my kids to get A's. I want them to get a good GPA. I want them to excel. I do. But I have to ask myself, why do I? Why is it important? I mean, honestly, did your high school GPA do much for you? Did it really open doors in your life? Maybe for some of you it did. Maybe it opened a door to a special college, and then you got the dream job that you were always looking for. But the reality is, for most of us, our high school GPA meant little to nothing. Okay, teenagers, you need to tune me out right now because you need to be doing your best. I'm talking to the parents. Parents, let's be careful not to obsess over these kind of things. Let's be careful that we keep education in its right place. If your child learns algebra and becomes a historian and excels at calculus, chemistry, and physics and goes on to get their master's and their doctorate in engineering, but they don't have the basic wisdom of God's word, what have you gained? What have you won? And so we have to ask. Now, those things are not mutually exclusive, okay? You could do both. But as parents, we're going to have to be very careful that education doesn't get in a place where it ought not to be. Some parents are willing to do almost anything to get their kids the education that they want them to have. Sometimes it's because parents feel like, well, I didn't get a good education, and I want my child to have a better chance at success. And that's a noble goal. That's a wonderful thing to try to give your child the tools that they need to succeed. I'm just saying that there's more tools than just education. Along with this, let me throw in music. Because you may not be that interested in sports, but to some parents, excelling in music and instruments is so very important to them. It is life. It is breath. It is you are nothing if you can't play an instrument. If you don't know how to read music, then you just aren't educated. Be careful. Be careful because, again, this pursuit can yield a stealing of the hearts. It can become an obsession in a young person's life. I think you know that music is something that we prioritize in our family. It's something that we believe is very important. It's good for discipline and lots of other things. But we've also noticed that music has some pitfalls. Music can bring about a spirit of pride, especially when a young person excels in music. And many of our young people do excel in music. Young people, remember that whatever you can do in music is because your parents have sacrificed to give you that opportunity, and God ultimately gave you some ability. And so be humble about that. Be careful about the spirit of pride. It can also kind of yield itself to these questions of, why am I doing this? And ultimately, we ought to be teaching our children. You know, we are trying to develop these skills so that we can worship the Lord, so that we can put the Lord first. This is where the relationship with God comes in. And if that gets out of place, if that gets mixed up, it can cause a lot of problems. All right? I won't ask if we're still friends anymore. Because we're going to talk about friends. Because we're talking about priorities. So now we need to talk about the priorities of who will my children be friends with? And where do other relationships fit in? And there's a ditch on two sides with this, because I think it is important to teach our children how to have friends, friendships, and how to wisely choose friends that will encourage them to serve the Lord. This is an important life skill. We as adults want to have some friendships in our own life. We want to have some family friends. We want to interact with other people. So this is the ditch on this side. God doesn't call us as families to isolate, to just get into our little place and in our house. And this can be something that happens when you're homeschooling your kids. You're together all day. You do your thing. You can kind of get closed in and forget that there's a big world out there. And we're raising our kids to have an impact on the world. So be careful about that ditch. We want to teach our kids. But there's another ditch on the other side, which is friends are everything. We live for friends. We've got to have friends. If you don't have friends, you got nothing. Oh, my poor kid doesn't have any friends. They're not going to die. They really aren't. I've heard parents before lament that there's nobody around that's their age. Well, praise the Lord. Is there anybody around that's older than them? Are there any other people around that they could be friends with? You're going to get a lot more benefit, young people, out of friendships with someone who's 15 or 20 years older than you than you will out of someone who is your peer. Now, I'm not telling you can't be friends with your peers. I'm just saying that your peers are kind of dumb and they don't have a lot of wisdom. Sometimes the older people aren't that helpful either, right? So we've got to help our children learn how to have friendships. But I've noticed that friends and a busy social calendar can easily take over a young person's life, can begin to affect their relationship with their parents, with their siblings, and with the Lord. So exercise care. Be careful about those friendships and be careful about the bonds that are being formed. Make sure that you're protecting the family relationship at the same time, and especially the relationship with the Lord. So there ought to be, again, prioritizing. Where do we fit this in? Do any of you feel like, wow, there's so many things going on. Where do we fit this in? So then what about ministry involvement and church attendance? Let's talk about this in regards to priorities. Because these things, involvement in ministry and attending the church services, are so closely linked to our relationship with God, they should be very high on the priority list. So I would say something like this: we'll be in church whenever the doors are open. And you say, well, that's because you're the pastor and you get paid to be there. But what I want you to understand is, if I wasn't the pastor and I wasn't being paid to be here, it would be the same priority, because it's that important to us. Being in the assembly is very important. Watching on live stream does not cut it. It's not the same as being in the assembly. It's nice when being in the assembly is not possible, but it's not the same as being in the assembly. And if you choose consistently to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, it is going to have an effect. If church attendance is a low priority for you, fitting it in only where it's convenient, don't be surprised if your children walk away from Christianity altogether as soon as they have the opportunity. Because to them, they've watched mom and dad make lots of excuses about why they can't make it to church. And by the time they get old enough to make their own decisions, they're going to say, you know, I know mom and dad say church is important, but I've been watching them for a lot of years, and it doesn't seem like it's that important. If there's a little thing over here, then you know what? We can't make it. If there's a little thing over here, well, never mind, we can't make it. Your children are watching and they're learning. And remember what I said at the beginning of the message. It's the small decisions right now that are going to have a big impact later. It may seem like a small thing to say, well, we're going to be in church consistently. It may not seem like that big of a deal, and I realize that it's not always convenient. In fact, we observed this, especially when our children were young. It's rarely convenient to attend church. It is. There were times when I think my wife felt like, what's the point? If I go to church, I'm going to be in the nursery or out in the foyer the whole time with a crying baby. So why come? Well, why did we choose to come? Because at the end of the day, it's important to be here. It's important to other people that you are here. Okay. I've also noticed that serving the Lord will always require some measure of sacrifice. It's never easy to serve the Lord. Now, one of the things that we talk about a lot here is make sure that you're not overly extending yourself. For instance, dad, husband, could be so involved at church with church activities that he's never at home. That's not a good thing. That's not going to be pleasing to the Lord. That's not going to help you strengthen your family. But don't take that to mean, well, then I just back out completely and don't serve the Lord at all. Because it's hard. It is hard. There's sacrifice that's involved in serving the Lord. Serving in ministries is not always easy to do. One of the things that I appreciate about so many of you who are faithful in serving in ministries, faithful in being here in the church services, I realize that many of you men just got home from work, didn't have a chance to eat supper, or quick ate something as you were headed out the door, gathered up the family and got here. Or you came straight from work and met your family here so that you could be in the assembly. I appreciate that. That says that to you, the assembly is important. By the way, you can spend time with your children. We say that's a big priority, right? Spend time with your children. How about if you spend time with your children while you're serving the Lord? How about if you say to your children, you know what? We're going to sign up to be on the church cleaning list. And we're going to go and we're going to be on the rotation. When it's our turn to clean the auditorium, we're going to go all together. And you're going to help run the vacuums, and we're going to straighten things up, and we're going to serve the Lord together. Or some of you men who are ushers, and you've got a little guy, you could maybe have that little guy with you for a little while you're shaking hands and showing what you're doing. Hey, this is what we do. We greet people. We smile. We shake their hands. We say, welcome to the Lord's house. This sort of thing. You could serve the Lord. You could take your kids on visitation. You could say, you know what? I'm going to go on visitation. I'm going to bring my children with me. And we try to create opportunities, venues where it's easy to include the children in the ministry because we know that serving the Lord and spending time together is an important thing to do. It's an opportunity to model for your kids that even when it's not convenient or easy, we should serve the Lord. So then when we think about our children, we ask the question, well, where does working a job fit in? And when is it best pursued? And how do we steer our children in regards to a life pursuit and career? Because all this plays into priorities. Well, in general, work is going to be an atmosphere where your children are going to be exposed to influences that they've never dealt with before. So if they've been raised in a Christian home and a Christian environment, and you're going to say to them, go down to 7-Eleven and get a job when you're 14. You understand that your children are going to step into a world that they have not yet experienced. And it's probably worse than you think it is. And I'm not saying no 14-year-old should ever do that. I'm just saying you better prepare them. You better make sure that they're ready for that. Most of the time, they're not ready for that environment. There would be a better way to go about that. Now, let's balance that with the side that it is important to teach our children to work. It's important to teach them that work is a life skill. I remember a young man years ago that I knew, and his parents felt like, you're going to work the rest of your life, and so I don't want you to work a job until you get out of high school and maybe even out of college. I don't really understand that. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, because guess what? In life, you're going to work. That's the point. You better learn to work, because that's what you're going to be doing. Work is honorable. Work is a good thing, but work can be something that can get into your child's heart, and they can really get consumed with making money, with being successful. And so you want to be very, very cautious about this while at the same time teaching them to work. Also, we want our children to be open to and desirous of serving the Lord. We want them to give God the first shot at their life. Lord, do you want my life for your service? then here I am. I'm willing and I'm ready. But if not, then okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, if God does not call a young man in particular to full-time ministry, they're going to need to have a means of supporting themselves and a family. And it's good for them to bear the yoke in their youth. It's good for them to learn a skill. It's good for them to learn a trade. It's good for them to learn some sort of a means of making a living. And so encourage your young people in that, but realize that that's not the top priority. They don't have to be 12 years old and already figured out exactly where they're going with their life. Give them some space and some time, and God will reveal where He's taking them. But as parents, we do want to prioritize this area of thinking about what is the future. I think in regards to some of our young ladies, too, it's very important for them to be thinking about, okay, what does God want with my life? And I recognize that most young ladies raised in a church, their desire is to get married and have kids and be a mom and a wife, but that doesn't always happen. So what is the question then? Okay, how do we help our young ladies prepare if God is not going to bring them to that place of marriage, then how are they going to provide for their needs? How are they going to care for their needs? And we need to help our young people think through these things. This is a priority in their life, but it can't be the top priority. All right, so as we think about our lives, we think about the little decisions that we're making, we think about the things that we're doing, then we begin to realize that the small decisions begin to add up to a big impact. Small decisions like, we're going to church every time the doors are open, no matter what, we're going to be there. That has a big impact. Now, does that mean that your kids are going to get saved, love the Lord, and serve Him with the rest of their life? No, it doesn't guarantee that. They need to yield their heart to the Lord. They need to respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you this, there's a better shot of it doing that than saying, never mind, church isn't that important. We'll go once a month or a couple times, you know, whenever we can fit it in, we'll go to church and we'll show up just to get the bare minimum. Then you can be sure that your children are watching and that they're being affected. Pay attention to that. The little decisions are adding up to big things. Priorities in your life. If your priority is consistently about things and money and getting more, then your children are going to pick up on the same thing. You see, these little decisions that we make add up to big things in these priorities, and we want to have the right priorities. Let's talk for just a minute about the refinement of priorities, because the general focus of this will not change in our priorities, but specifics will need to be adjusted in our families as our children get older, especially as they grow into teens and young adults. So we now have, of course, I think most people who are here know, we have 6 children. Our oldest is almost 18. Our youngest just turned 5, which means that we live in a very interesting existence. So we have older kids who are starting to have a social calendar. They're starting to have jobs and things that they're involved in, and they want to be plugged into ministries at church, and they want to spend time with friends, and these are all good things. They want to go and be involved in different activities with other young people, and there's nothing wrong with that. And then we've got young kids, and some of the things that our older kids do are later at night, and our young kids need to go to bed, and we're trying to figure out, and frankly, I need to go to bed. And we're trying to figure out where all that fits and how does that work? Well, what happens is we've got to be constantly making adjustments, okay? What is the priority? What is our focus? We can't parent the same way. We can't parent our children the same way when they're 15 as we did when they were 5. By the time they're 15, they ought to have already learned some things. We ought to be investing in them in different ways. They're getting close now to making some major life decisions, and it's a different relationship than it was when they were 5. And then it's challenging if you've got 15 and 5, and you're trying to bridge that gap, and some of you are in that same place right there with us. So those general priorities are not going to change. God's going to be first. Time with family is still going to be important. Serving the Lord. But now some of the specifics are going to begin to get tweaked. As we think about the refinement of priorities, one thing that I want to say, and I hope that you understand what I'm saying here, Don't make excuses for having selfish priorities when your kids are young. Because as they get older, it's going to be very difficult to change those priorities. So the temptation is there. The temptation is there to say, you know, it's hard with young kids to be faithful to church. They're grumpy. Their bedtime is being affected. They're hungry after the morning service. You know, we've got all these different things that are going on. What about their schoolwork? What about this? What about that? Be careful about taking something that should be very high priority and putting it down here to say what's most important is nap time. What's most important is because, and again, please understand what I'm saying, that can be something that is selfish. Because as a parent, we like when things are according to schedule. We do. We like things to be exactly scheduled because that's easier for the kids, which means it's easier for us. But have you noticed that life is rarely scheduled rigidly like that? There's always things that are happening. And so we want to be careful not to make excuses for, well, you know, this is why it's so hard right now, and we've got this difficulty and that difficulty. And listen, you've got to make your decisions. You've got to choose your priorities. I want you to understand, though, that if you make those decisions that way when the kids are young, it's going to be difficult to impossible to turn that ship when they're teenagers and all of a sudden say, okay, now we're making major changes in the family. It's probably not going to happen. In fact, it's probably going to get even worse. So be very careful about the decisions that you're making. There's always going to be a rationalization to take something that should be a high priority, put it down where it ought not to be, and take something that is lower priority and put it into an ascendant place in our life because it's easier. So we constantly have to be asking ourselves, what is first? What should be first? Where does God fit in this? What ministry should we be involved in? What should we be doing together as a family? What areas should I be plugged in? What is going on in my spiritual life? What's going on in my children's spiritual life? Are there adjustments that we need to make in our family? And as you evaluate these priorities, I think that if you take a long view that gets short really fast, and realize, you know, the day is coming when they're not going to be here anymore. The day is coming when they're going to be on their own and they're going to be making their own decisions. They're going to be setting priorities for their family. What kind of priorities would you like your kids to have in the family that they're going to establish? And then think about that and say, do we have those priorities? Is that what we're doing in our family? Is that the way that we're raising our children? It's very important that we set the right priorities because setting those priorities the right way will set us to see a favorable goal achieved in 15, 20 years, and then we can rejoice and say, praise the Lord for what God has done in the life of my child. Those priorities are so important.